The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Father, may you by your Spirit kindle ever deepening gratitude and joy in our hearts in response to your love that endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who know me, and those of you who are just getting to know me, you'll learn quite quickly that I'm not much of a scholar of any sort, certainly not a Hebrew scholar, but I love this word, this Hebrew word hesed, that gets translated love, mercy. Probably the best rendering that I've ever seen. It takes the combination of two words to really express it, loving kindness. And I love it that in our language that's kind of become one word. You know, loving kindness, the Lord's loving kindness. Cultures are going to ebb and flow. They are shifting sands. They're ephemeral. You can't depend on them. They're lovely things, but you can't pin yourself to them. You can't be stabilized by them. But as the cultures ebb and flow and the sand shift, his love, his loving kindness, his mercy endures forever. As nations rise and fall, his mercy endures forever. Through times of turbulence, his mercy endures forever, ever. Every generation eventually will join in the song, his mercy endures forever. His sovereignty stands, and his mercy, his hesed, his loving kindness endures forever. Towards rebellious, unfaithful Israel, his mercy endures forever. To rebellious, unfaithful church, his mercy endures forever. And to rebellious, unfaithful you and me, his mercy endures forever. Oh Lord, unveil our eyes. Help us to see you face to face. Help us to respond to you. It's always been easy for me to identify with and understand the repentance of the prodigal. Somehow he's an easy one to love. He's an easy one to love. It's easy to identify with Mary, the sister of Lazarus in the gospel story. We want to be more like her. But a couple of characters in the scriptures, I think, that get short shrift and get much maligned are the prodigal's older brother and Mary's sister Martha. But his love endures forever towards the prodigal's older brother and towards Martha as well. There's plenteous grace for whatever your temperament is and your situation and your story. In John Whitley's book, he talks about the ebb and flow and the fittingness of praise, petition, gratitude, and lament. We don't like to make much room in our lives for lament. Therefore, we don't do it very well. But this past Christmas, I heard of churches around the country hosting something called Blue Christmas services. You ever heard of that? Anyone else heard of that? How appropriate. You know, we think of Christmas, we think of joy, we think of peace on earth, we think of the words like merry, have yourself a merry little Christmas, merry little epiphany. But we don't think of lament. My father passed away when I was 13, suddenly at Thanksgiving time. Thanksgivings were rough for a few years. People have all kinds of hurts in their lives, and there is a need for making a space for lament. The phrase that occurs in the middle of this psalm, "You have answered me," "You have answered me," reminded me of another place that same construct happens in the Psalms, in Psalm 22. When the petitions are being poured out, "Help me, save me from this horror, the violence going on around me." And in the same verse, it says, "You have answered me." I don't doubt that although Jesus was calling out from the cross, that he had internalized in his heart, "Father, you have answered me in the middle of my horror, in the middle of my shame." The Psalms are Christocentric. Jesus proclaimed them Christocentric himself when he quoted this verse about the chief cornerstone, the stone that was rejected becoming the capstone, the chief cornerstone, referencing that to himself in Mark 12. He opened up the book of Psalms for us as a book about him, a prophetic book about him, his own personal prayer book, his own personal hymnal. I love the fact that towards the end of this psalm, it begins to echo, it seems to me, strains from the Song of Moses in Exodus 15. That wonderful song of victory. And we live in that reality. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The Red Sea has been parted, and the enemy has been thrown into the sea.